The Fan on Demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, SFS, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, my co-host in studio is Tyler Mason. You can catch him online via Twitter, at Tyler Mason. You can catch myself, at Showdown Joe, on Twitter. And I'll preface this show by stating that this might be a blooper-filled radio show because I am fighting what is called, I guess, the common cold. So if my voice starts screeching or I start hitting high pitches, I apologize to all the listeners that are tuned in right now. We're going to hear from Phil Davis after the first break, and we'll also hear from Ryan Bader. So it's an all light heavyweight show, I guess, minus us two. I was once a light heavyweight.
Well, I've never been a light heavyweight. I don't even think that's possible.
One trip to Italy, and I gained, I think it was 28 or 29 pounds in 3 weeks. It was yeah, I came back as a light heavyweight. Let's just say that.
That's impressive. All yeah. Muscle too, right?
It was pasta. It was all pasta. I am far from a light heavyweight now, thankfully, and on my road to walking around as a welterweight. So I'm kind of happy about that. Lots to discuss in the world of mixed martial arts. I mean, who knows where we can begin? So many different things. First things first, rest in peace to Jeff Blatnick, one of the original guys that would commentate on the UFC, obviously an Olympic gold medalist in wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling. Jeff passed away at the age, 56 or 50, I forgot, 52.
I think it was 55.
55. He passed away from complications from heart surgery. So, Godspeed to his family. I spoke to Jeff just a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember what event it was, but I remember seeing Jeff and, you know, always gracious with his time and smiling ear to ear and one of the guys that helped put together the Unified Rules of Mixed Martial Arts. So a definite pioneer. And also got word today. I think we're still waiting for confirmation, but apparently Emmanuel Stewart passed away as well, legendary boxing trainer.
Yeah, I read online that his family was denying it first, but they've confirmed that he passed as well.
Very unfortunate from the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. We move forward now to a variety of different stories that, I mean, I think I've got a sheet in front of me with over 21 different bullet points that there's no way we can get to because we'll eventually have to focus on both Phil Davis, Mr. Wonderful, and Ryan Darth Bader later on the show. But before we get to anything, I went to the Score Fighting Series 6th event in Sarnia last week. A great show. Those guys are putting on an exceptional event. I do have my notes and suggestions that I will present to them in future. Once all the stuff between Rogers and the Score gets all taken care of, and then we'll discuss a bunch of things. And the one thing I read an excellent column by Dave Meltzer on MMAfighting.com regarding the future of the UFC and how it's going to be market-specific shows. That's all I'm saying. Stay tuned.
It's exciting. I'm excited about the whole Rogers, Score Fighting series and Score purchase. It's definitely going to be interesting in the upcoming years.
I'm definitely excited. It's something that I've been wanting to get back into for a very long time. I don't know if I will be able to, but if given the opportunity, I might have to jump at that very quickly. Regarding Chris Hordeski and Brad Cardinal in that main event for SFS, it was a solid first round, and unfortunately put an end to a very exciting show in a sort of non-dramatic fashion, or I guess dramatic fashion. A unintentional headbutt caused a really bad gash over Horodesky's eye, and unfortunately in between rounds they tried to fix it, and then as they were gonna start the second round, Yves Levine took one look and said, hold on, let's get the doctor in here. The doctor took one look and it was like, no, this guy can't fight anymore. So unfortunate for Horodesky, unfortunate for Cardinal as well, as Brad's been on a bit of a run recently, and he's looking to take his career to the next level, as was Horodesky. You went through the roster here with John Fraser and a couple of other guys. Lyndon Whitlock, who many thought was going to emerge victorious versus Rick Glenn, took a beating in that fight. I mean, he's one tough cookie. I mean, Lyndon Whitlock is just made of steel. John Fraser with a unanimous decision victory. Jorge Brito, man, two rounds of I want to say 10-8 rounds, but dominant rounds over Tony Hervey. And I think, to my understanding, is when he threw a punch in ground and pound, he punched the mat. And it just caused, if I'm not mistaken, a hairline fracture to his wrist. He could not, at the end of the second round, he got up and you could just see him wincing in pain. And it was like, this fight's going to be stopped. This guy's ahead 2-0 on the scorecard. So unfortunate for Brito, but hopefully he returns very, very soon. He's one of the nice guys in the greater Toronto region and one of the good guys in the sport of mixed martial arts. Anything else stick out for you?
No, those are mostly the ones that stuck out for me. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I guess we don't see it too often in mixed martial arts, a clash of heads causing a cut, but I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. I mean, you see it a lot in boxing when an orthodox striker matches up with a southpaw. Their heads always clash, and I think we're lucky in MMA that you don't see that too often, because it could easily happen just as much in mixed martial arts as it does in boxing.
All right, let's go through some of the news here. A lot of matchups have been put together. Jonathan Brookins will take on Dustin Poirier, a featherweight scrap for Tough 16. Flyweight fight, Jared Papazian taking on Tim Elliott. And Pat Barry, who we was on this show a couple of weeks ago, he's taking on Shane Del Rosario at that event. That's going to be a solid scrap.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be an exciting one. I mean, Del Rosario has some really good Muay Thai, and Pat Barry, everyone knows, one of the best strikers in the heavyweight division. Who, you know, showed that he's been working his ground game a little in his last fight. And we know Rosario's got some submissions, so who knows? This fight might even take place on the ground for part of it.
Pat sent me some crazy video the other day. This guy's nuts. He's certifiably nuts. I told him to stop what he's doing because he's nuts. But that's another story for another day. UFC on Fox 5, TJ Dillashaw will take on Mike Easton. You talk about bragging rights. Team Alpha Male versus the Alliance Academy or Alliance MMA. This is going to be a barn burner because, you know, TJ Dillashaw with his close relationship with
Uriah Faber.
I was going to say Dominic. Uriah Faber and, of course, Mike Easton, a training partner of Dominic Cruz. You know there's going to be some bad blood in this fight.
Yeah, for sure. And Mike Easton is pretty much, I'd say, like the blueprint of Lloyd Irvin's system. He's one of the guys that's been there for a real long time. So he's been taking his career very, very specific.
Interesting note in the welterweight division, Damian Maia recently stated he'd like to fight or face Nick Diaz or John Fitch next. And then you had Josh Koscheck recently tweet, quote, "Doesn't look like UFC has a fight for me until," well, he said 2113. It's 2013.
It'd be a long time, 2113. Yeah.
"So I'll just train and get better till 2013, LOL. But I'd like to fight Nick Diaz, Damian Maia, Jake Ellenberger, Roy McDonald." We put Roy M, but we know it's Roy McDonald. "Any one of those guys will do it." So Koscheck and Damian Maia are kind of helping out Joe Silva here.
Yeah, and I mean, all of these matchups seem extremely exciting. I'd personally like to see Damian Maia and John Fitch. I think that would be a lights-out fight. They just recently fought, too. So, I mean, you could easily match them up as well.
Do you like to see Kosh versus Diaz?
Yes, I would love to see Kosh versus Diaz. I think that's just perfect. It's a money-making fight. Both guys like to scrap. It's, you know, on the feet, it's lights out. And on the ground, it'd be very interesting because it's wrestling and jiu-jitsu. So I think these guys match up great in the fight and with their mouths.
Matt Riddle's bout versus Chris Clements at UFC 149 in Calgary has been overturned. Matt Riddle tested positive for, I'm not going to say marijuana metabolites, but I guess tested positive. He had marijuana in his system. Doesn't mean he fought high. This guy has a medicinal, he actually posted his medicinal card from the state of Nevada, which had his home address on it. He said he's moved since. Who knows if that's true? But at the same time, so that fight was overturned, which kind of brings me to this couple different things here. Should a guy like Matt Riddle, like, should the commissions understand that this guy is a medical marijuana patient? There's going to be some marijuana in his system left over, even if he stops smoking when he arrives in Calgary. Provided he's not competing high is one thing. There's going to be some stuff in his system, even if he stops. I mean, what does it stay in his system, like 21 days, something of that nature? So it's going to be in his system. As long as he doesn't fight high, that's one thing. Number two, and not many people are understanding where I'm coming from this, he won a submission of the night bonus. Should that be something the UFC looks at and says, "Hey, you got to pay that back"? Or like, what would you do in that scenario? Because he did submit Chris Clements, but the fight's been overturned.
I don't think he should have to give his submission bonus, but I think it's bad enough that his fight's overturned. I mean, it kind of explains why Matt Riddle's always happy a little bit. He always has a smile on his face. But you know what? I mean, I think everybody inside fighting and outside of fighting, when you hear about a guy's win in any sport being overturned because of marijuana, you think to yourself, you know what? Marijuana is not a performance-enhancing drug. I mean, essentially, you could almost reward someone more points for performing under the influence.
If you do that, yeah, sure.
It's detrimental. I mean, yeah. I would never want to do anything where a guy is trying to knock my head off, you know, after I've smoked pot or something. That'd be stupid. You know, it's just like if you stepped in there drinking, you'd never want to fight someone while you're drunk. I mean, that to me,
professionally.
Yes, because
you see it all the time at some of these sporting events and bars and stuff. But
to me, that seems, it seems very counterintuitive to the fact that you have all these guys on TRT and, you know, a lot of guys using, you know, illegal substances that actually do improve your performance and really give them an advantage over their opponents. And then you have, it seems like them focusing on, you know, things like marijuana that doesn't seem to be as serious as something as someone taking steroids.
UFC 154, Michael Johnson will take on Miles Jury in a lightweight battle. UFC 155, featherweight Eric Koch, who was supposed to fight Jose Aldo on a bunch of different occasions, number one in Calgary, number two in Brazil. He's now taking on Ricardo Lamas, obviously because Jose Aldo is scheduled to defend his title versus Frankie Edgar, rumor has it, in January in Brazil. Not sure if that's going to come to fruition, but that's the rumor right now. Bantamweight Eric Perez will take on Byron Bloodworth, while Brad Pickett will take on Eddie Wineland. Now, you want to talk about a solid bantamweight scrap? That one has knockout written all over it.
Yeah, the two fights in this list that stuck out was definitely the Koch and Lamas fight. I mean, that has to be a number one contender fight there. And, I mean, Brad Pickett always brings it every single time. And Eddie Wineland is definitely a gamer. I think he's one of the more underrated fighters at bantamweight. So that fight is definitely one to look forward to.
Rashad Evans, that's the Brazilian or Portuguese guys hanging out. Oh, my goodness.
Like Handy Couture.
Yeah. Rashad Evans taking on Antonio Rogério Nogueira. Basically, a collision course for Super Bowl weekend. That's a great fight, except some fans are wondering why Nogueira keeps getting matched up against wrestlers. But it's not the UFC's job to protect him from wrestlers. It's his job to protect himself from wrestlers. Tyson Griffin, he's also left Extreme Couture, just like Gray Maynard. He's now training in California at the American Kickboxing Academy. This fight with Donald Cerrone and Anthony Pettis doesn't look like it's going to happen in early 2013. Pettis is in the hospital. I'm not sure if he still is, but he was hospitalized for staph infection. This guy's having just terrible luck. Every time he gets close to a title or another title shot or something just right there, this guy's just terrible bad luck for this kid.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the worst years for a fighter. I mean, to have a shoulder injury and now the staph infection, and it just seems like everything keeps piling on. I mean, this is a year that he's going to want to forget as far as, you know, his professional career. But I guess it gives you time to reflect on what you want, your goals, and I think Pettis is going to come back really, really strong after this.
Dana White is warming up to women's mixed martial arts. Make sure you tune into Monday's episode of UFC Central. We'll explain why and some of the pivotal moments in women's MMA history that are getting it to this point. Tyler's rubbing three of his fingers together in the sign of money, 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 money. So in time, it will happen. We'll dissect that a little later on. Hopefully on this show, if not in future shows, but it's coming. It's going to happen. And I'm not going to say what I'm going to say on Monday's episode, but it's close. Let's move on. Well, did you see Misha Tate going after Bellator?
And I think rightfully so. I mean, she went after her because Zoila Zirgel was on the undercard of a fight. So she's not even on the televised portion of a Bellator event. And she is a champion within their organization. You know, it was at a different weight than the one she's a champion at. And they were saying it was a tune-up fight. But I still think you need to showcase your champions a bit, especially if you're going to build them at the top of the card later on.
Dream is having a New Year's Eve show. Many of us are excited for that. Some of the fighters that didn't get paid from last New Year's Eve show probably aren't happy. But Dream is apparently having an event at the end of the year. In the file of redundancy, Dana White stated Brock Lesnar and Fedor are still retired. They will not fight. Neither guy will come back. I'm just calling it redundant because it seems to come up every week. Rumor has it Big Nog fought Dave Pee Wee Herman with a busted rib.
And just by coincidence, you mentioned that they were retired after the Dream announcement for New Year's.
So you're saying Fader's not going to headline that show?
I'm judged.
All right.
I don't think so. That would be, you know, they're looking for headliners.
I want to talk about Eddie Alvarez, but we don't have time. Eddie Alvarez is going to be one of the most expensive lightweights in the world because there's going to be a bidding war between Bellator, Viacom, and the UFC. One of them will eventually say no. That's too much. Quick.
Do you think one FC gets in on that bidding war?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think they will.
He definitely needs to be in the UFC.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, it's you think he's going to go to UFC?
I think he definitely needs to be there because I don't think he gets the respect, you know, in the community that he deserves. I mean, after the loss to Chandler, I think his stock went down. But, I mean, he is obviously one of the top guys in this division.
So much more to talk about, but we don't have time. Coming up after the break, we will hear from Phil, Mr. Wonderful Davis, right here on UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe. Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. I apologize to everyone tuning in right now as I am continuing to cough on air and off air. I'm doing the best to make sure I turn away from the microphone, at least turn it off. I apologize. I am fighting this cold. As always, standing to my left, or sitting to my left, your radio left, Tyler Mason. You can catch him online via Twitter, at Tyler Mason. Myself, at Showdown Joe. And as we mentioned a little bit later on in the show, it's almost like it's a light heavyweight division of UFC Central. We'll hear from Ryan Darth Bader and the latest on his career, his gym, and what's happening, you know, in his, in just in general. I mean, one of the good guys in the industry. Just like this, our next guest, Phil Mr. Wonderful Davis, who I believe was in Brazil, not just competing, but stayed a little bit longer and, you know, living out there in Cali. I wish I was in Cali and not up here in Toronto dealing with this, can you say inclement weather? Because one day it's, you know, 26 degrees Celsius, and apparently 3 days from now it's going to be 4 degrees Celsius, Tyler?
I don't think I go outside enough to comment on the weather.
Oh my goodness, it's just, it's brutal. I can't do anything anymore. I go to the gym, I'm sweating, I'm not sweating. It's just insane. Anyways, Phil, Mr. Wonderful Davis, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
I understand.
How are you guys?
Good. How was the fight there in the hostile territory that was Brazil?
It was cool, man. It was cool. It was a lot of fun, actually. After the fans got over the whole, just walking out was like the scariest part. It was like, goodness, you know, they have security, but I feel like the crowd could overrun security. You know, after I got in like the Braden fight zone, it was good. And after the fight, the fans were awesome.
Were you a little concerned after you tapped out Wagner Prado? It's like, these guys are going to come after me now.
You know, I wasn't sure. You know, you never know what could happen. I'm never sure what could happen. Once I got to the backstage, I was walking back. People were like, Phil, you're awesome. You're awesome. Can I have a hat? Can I have a hat? Like, okay, all right. We're doing good here.
For those who tuned into UFC Central, the TV show, we highlighted Phil's fight as well as four or three other ones on the main card, and we talked about the beginning of the end for his bout versus Wagner Prado. Phil, have you had a chance to rewatch the bout, or at least watch it for the first time, and to dissect your performance?
Did I rewatch the first bout or the second?
The second fight.
Yes, I did watch that fight, yes.
What did you think of, it was a highlight reel performance in terms of wrestling, in terms of grappling, in terms of transitions and going from submission to submission. That's me talking as an analyst, but as a fighter, when you watch yourself do that, do you look and say, you know, job well done, or I could have done this different, or I should have did that at this point here?
No, actually, I was pretty critical. You know, I saw a lot of spots where I should have ended the fight a little sooner. When I looked at that, I said, wow, you know, I feel like I knew I was grappling at a higher level once we started grappling. And by keeping him against the fence, I kept him in the game. If I could have brought him to the open mat, I could have got right to work on my submissions and probably got some bigger punches off too. So, I mean, there's just a bunch of things that I noticed that we trained and that I didn't quite execute on time and on point like I know I should have.
Now, I've been doing some research online. It still says you're a blue belt under Lloyd Irvin. Now, come on. You're not a blue belt, are you?
I'm going to tell you the truth, guys. I'm not a blue belt. Lloyd Irvin gave me a blue belt only because who did I finish the submission? I think I did the... That was after I submitted Tim Bosch. The next trip I had out to his school, he gave me a blue belt. But I don't think I'm a blue belt. I'm definitely a white belt. Anybody that's blue, purple, brown, or black, do not take me seriously. I'm no good.
Tyler, I think you have a question for Phil.
Yeah, Phil, after that Tim Bosch fight, you renamed or you named that submission the Phil Mura or the Mr. Wonderful. You seem to be finishing guys a lot with the Anaconda. Are you going to come with a new name for that?
I don't know. You know, after, it's funny you say that. After my fight, I went up into one of the, our VIP hosts had a booth, and I went up into his booth. While the fights were still going on, I watched a couple fights from the booth. And I met a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter, and he's like, hey, I'm the guy who made that move to Anaconda that you used. I was like, nice to meet you. I feel like I owe you a lot. I'm not going to give it to you, but I owe you.
Interesting fairness right there. Now, before we get to your next fight, we'll sort of transition to that momentarily. Let's talk about what went through your mind when you first heard the news that Chael Sonnen and Jonny Bones Jones were named by the UFC as coaches for next season's Ultimate Fighter.
My immediate response to that was, wow, that'll be an entertaining season for the fans to watch, you know. You got the champ on one side, and I'm sure a lot of people tune in to see the champ. And then you have the guy who, you know, claims he's the champ when he's clearly not the champ, Chael Sonnen. And he'll make any TV show not only funny, but definitely worth watching. So, I know I'm pumped up to watch it. And if I was a fan, I'd be thrilled.
Wait a second. Now I'm confused here. You're telling me Chael Sonnen is not the champion? I'm lost here.
Well, don't be deceived by the belt. Don't be deceived by the belt. The belt doesn't mean you're champion these days.
Fair enough.
Actually, Don Jones is the champion.
The classic was during that press conference when Dana White didn't even notice that Chael brought the belt up to the stage, and he looked down and was like, what is this guy doing? And he pulls the belt away from him. But that's Chael's son. And now Johnny obviously opened up as a heavy favorite versus Chael, who is moving up to the 205-pound weight class. How do you dissect that fight? Who emerges victorious?
I'm very interested. I'm very interested in that fight. Chael's a good size 205-er. You know, he can immediately jump right in and have good size and have good power. But, you know, he's up against a champion who, he holds his own. He definitely holds his own, and he's been impressive. So I cheer for the champion in this situation.
Fair enough. You're listening to Phil, Mr. Wonderful Davis, right here on UFC Central Radio on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Now, Phil, you're replacing Chael Sonnen, who was originally supposed to take on Forrest Griffin at UFC 155 on the organization's year-end show. Talk about what went into putting that fight together. Obviously, did you step up? Did you call the UFC? Did they call you? And talk about competing against a former light heavyweight champion like Forrest.
No, actually, they contacted me about fighting Forrest. As soon as I got off the plane from Brazil, I stayed in Brazil a couple extra days. As soon as I got off the plane from Brazil, turned on my phone for the first time in 2 weeks, you know, I get a ton of text messages. I'm going through my text messages, and, you know, whenever you get like 60 whatever text messages at once, you just got to go to the important ones first. So I went to my family, checked all those, went up to my management. As soon as I started checking the text messages from my management, I'm like, oh, crap, I have a fight in 2 months. I got to get back in shape. Not that I'm out of shape, but I got to stay in good shape. I can't get fat. I was looking forward to getting fat, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, in Brazil, you can get pretty fat quickly in Brazil, I'll tell you that.
I tell you what, those churrascarias, they're no joke, man. They are no joke. It was amazing. I went there. Look, I can get on Brazil and the food another time, but yeah. So as soon as I got off the plane, I got the text message that you know, the UFC wanted me to fight Forrest. Obviously, he's a former champion, well known inside the sport and out. And it's just an honor to fight him. So I said absolutely.
And he's a guy that brings the pace. He brings the pressure. He likes to stand and bang there. It's almost like he's, you know, him and Stefan Bonner are mirror images. They don't like competing until they start sensing that they're bleeding. Is that ever a concern for you? Are you ready to go three rounds with this guy? Or is it just, you know what, let me get this guy down on the ground and sort of control him, even though he does have that jits behind him?
I'd rather not go three rounds with a guy like that. He's just, he just keeps going. He just keeps going, you know? He's exactly. He's like Stefan Bonner. You know, those guys, they get bloodied up, and all right, now I'm ready to do this thing. I don't really get it, but that's how they roll. So you know what? I like that. You know, I like that, knowing that a guy's gonna not be scared of you, but he's gonna pressure you, and that to me, that brings out the best part of my game. That brings out the fight in my game, you know? Like, sometimes when you get against a guy who just wants to try to pick you apart with one strike here and there, slows down the pace a lot. I want a fast paced fight. I want a fight of the night, you know. So I look forward to it. It should be awesome.
Hey Phil, how do you feel about Rampage calling out Forrest when he's scheduled to fight you?
Didn't he just call out Glover?
He called out Glover. He says he'd fight Glover and Forrest on the same evening. Apparently, he turned down the Ultimate Fighter as well. He didn't want to do it against Chael Sonnen, but he wants to fight Glover, Forrest, and all these guys in one night for his final fight in the UFC.
Bless his heart. That's all I have to say about that.
No, that's Rampage for you. I mean, Rampage is, listen, I mean, I've been dealing with Rampage for a very long time, and you never know which Rampage shows up, but he always, no matter what, people need to read between the lines, he's always got good intentions. Sorry, Tyler, go ahead.
Well, before the Rashad fight, Phil, a lot of people were kind of touting you as the guy to take down Jon Jones because of your wrestling background. How far away from becoming that do you think you are?
The guy to take down Jon Jones or the guy to take down the champion?
Well, One or the other.
All the above.
I'm improving all the time. And as you've seen in the light heavyweight division just recently, you're really only one performance away. You know, it's all about selling the fight and, giving the fans what they want. And then, you know, if after this next fight the fans want to see me fight the title, then that's what will happen. But if I need to string another two or three wins, then I'll do that, and I'll be content and happy either way. But, the UFC is great because the fans win every time. You know, a lot of people are upset because Chael Sonnen got a title shot right now. You know what? You know who's not upset? The fans. The fans aren't upset because the fans know they're going to get an awesome fight. Do I think the other people were in line to get that fight? Absolutely. It's not fair, if that's what you want me to say. It's not fair. It's not cool. But you know what? It's a fight game, and, you know, at the end of the day, we're doing this for the fans.
Fair enough. Now, before we go to break, one quick question, because you mentioned one of the guys that could have been up there for that title shot would be one of your teammates, Alexander Gustafsson, if he gets past Shogun Hua. Is there ever a concern that one day the fact that, you know, the UFC might try and pinpoint you against Alexander or a guy like Brandon Vera or one of your teammates?
You know, if it comes down to a title shot, then we have no problem with fighting, you know. We've already decided that we're in this to be the best in the world, you know. And if one of us is the best in the world, and the other is in line, you know, then we'll decide, hey, who is actually the best in the world? But until then, there's no sense in losing a training partner over it. Right now, we're in a good spot, and we're helping each other and making each other better. And if there's ever a time when, again, like one of us is the champion, then. Yeah, then we need to prove that. We need to prove, hey, who's actually the best in the world. But up until then, just to prove who's the best in the gym, not so important.
There you have it. Words of wisdom from Mr. Wonderful Phil Davis. Phil, if you're ever in the Toronto region and you're not setting up for a fight, I will take you to one of the shusherias out here and guarantee you you'll be a heavyweight within about half an hour after we're done that place.
No, half an hour?
Can you last half an hour?
You think it would take me that long, man? Come on, man.
Thank you.
Don't disrespect me now. Come on, man. I do work in those places, man.
There you go. Thank you very much for your time. I know you got a busy schedule, but we really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
There you have it, Mr. Wonderful Phil Davis. All right, coming up after the break, we'll hear from Ryan Darth Bader, another member of the UFC's 205-pound division. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, Strikeforce, Bellator, MFC, Dream, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, my co-host in studio on your radio left is Tyler Mason. You can catch him online via Twitter @Tyler Mason, myself on Twitter @Showdown Joe, and our next guest someone I've known for a very long time. I actually got to spend some quality time at the media workouts with him in Japan. At was it UFC 144? That was Japan, Tyler? You don't remember? Okay. Yeah, Ryan Bader. I actually shared, no, I shouldn't say I shared a room. His room was next to mine one time in Vegas, and I had tried to hide myself because I didn't want to think, oh my God, there's a media guy next to him. Oh my God, I got to be careful what I say. But Ryan's one of the good guys in the sport here. He joins us now. I think you're in Arizona right now, Ryan?
Yes, sir. How you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. We haven't heard much from you since you know, the fight with Lyoto. How are things?
Yeah. Yep, things are good, you know, just getting better. Got some guys fighting, and yeah, just really trying to concentrate on little things. And I have the time right now. I don't have a fight scheduled yet, so just doing little things like improving myself, parts of the game that, you know, maybe I was you know, not lacking, but you know, I could improve in, and that's pretty much everywhere. So taking the time to do that, really, and enjoying it.
Now, is this something that you looked at the Lyoto fight and said, okay, this is what I need to work on right here?
Not necessarily that fight. You know, we had our game plan going in there, and we never really got to really impose it, you know. First round was kind of, you know, it went the way, you know, not the way we'd like it to, but I was looking for an opportunity to take him down. Never saw it. You know, he's obviously a great fighter and very elusive and just hard to read. He's super patient. You know, so second round came in, I was like, well, you know, I'm going to try, you know, it started out whatever, same as first, and then I was going to try a little, you know, it's kind of a little off step right hand. But I didn't get out of line far enough. It kind of ran right into it. You know, I hit his forearm. And I was going to see how he react, kind of, you know, to that pressure and what side he was going to flee to, which that could maybe, you know, set up a kind of a shot to where he's going to be instead of trying to go where he's at now. That's really the only way you can take him down. So that happened. I remember doing that. And then I woke up and kind of like, you know, what happened kind of deal, and it was over. So it just sucks, you know, being knocked out. I've never been knocked out before, and you know, you look back and you're like, man, if you know, this guy, you know, put me on the cage, and I could have done this, or you know, could have done that, but you don't even have the chance. So it's just a weird experience. But you know, I took it well. You know, it sucks. You know, you take it hard after, you know, the weeks afterwards, but you just got to learn from it, get back in there, and it's going to be for the best.
You mentioned you don't have a fight coming up, but is there a time frame that you're looking at that you want to return to the octagon?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to get in there at least, you know, January or something. You know, I've still been training pretty hard, and like I said, we always have guys fighting at Power MMA. So, you know, Seth Baczynski has a fight coming up, so, you know, I was just in there last week, and you know, he started his camp, and then all this week, and helping him out. We're sparring hard. We're still going, you know. So I'm actually in pretty good shape. So yeah, I'd like to get in there. You know, I hate long layoffs, and I'd like to keep active, and you know, but just looking forward to that next fight. Good opponent, you know, a good card. So I know they're kind of full throughout, you know, December at least. So just looking for that.
You're listening to UFC Central. On the line with us right now is Ryan Darth Bader, one of the sport's best at 205 pounds. And you did mention working on the little things. How has it been being a new dad?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, I actually have another on the way.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Thank you. We're having a girl, so got the boy and the girl. But it's awesome. He's at the stage right now where he's about a little over 6 months, but he's crawling, you know, trying to say stuff, has a personality, smiling, so... You know, that's been awesome. That, you know, that's a lot of my time, what I've been doing now. I've been training. We have a business here in Arizona, Power MMA Fitness, been working there, helping, you know, that just keep rolling. And then just being a dad, you know, that takes up a lot of your time.
Yeah, you just took the next question right out of my mouth, Power MMA and Fitness. I remember when you and CB were just telling me you're about to open a gym. You guys already had your one-year anniversary. How's that going?
It's going great. We have over 1,000 members. It's me, Aaron Simpson, CB Dalloway, Mike Miller from Miami Heat. We all kind of got together because we share the same manager, lawyer, as Mike, and guys like Chad Greenway in the NFL. And, you know, Mike has a passion for MMA. When it came down to it, you know, we're all looking to start a gym, and he wanted in too. So, you know, it was a perfect fit. So it's a big facility. It's 27,000 square feet. We even have like a half court basketball court in there. But it's not just MMA. It's a fitness gym too. So, you know, we're enjoying it. We have all different people that are into MMA, some crazy kids that are you know, 15 years old, and they know everything, and they're going to Russia and competing in pancration, and just people coming in there to run on the treadmill. So it's a good mix, and we love training there, and you're training at a place, so why not, you know, make it your business, make some money off of it, bring in the coaches that you want to bring in, you know, and have something there in the future.
Yeah, I've been in this game for a very long time, and to hear someone like yourself tell me you have 1,000 members, that is absolutely fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I got two questions for you, off-topic sort of thing, but still in your division. What went through your mind when the UFC announced that Chael Sonnen and John Jones were going to be the next coaches on The Ultimate Fighter? What's the first thing that went through your mind?
First thing, I don't know. I wasn't really surprised, you know. Hear The Ultimate Fighter slipping and all that. I knew eventually, you know, Chael would talk himself into a title shot. I just didn't think it'd be that soon, especially coaching on tough. But, you know, I think it's a smart business move. I don't think it's smart as far as how the division plays out and people who are next in line and that deserve the title shot. But I mean, it's a smart business move by the UFC, you know, putting two guys in there that both have a huge following, that they know they're going to get good ratings on Ultimate Fighter. You know, I haven't watched it in, I don't know how long, but I'll probably tune in to watch them, you know, so it's smart move on their part.
And eventually these two are going to lock horns in the octagon in, I think it's April 27th. You take a look at the odds, and John Jones has already opened up as a heavy favorite. Can Chael Sonnen pull off this victory, or do you think it's going to be a one-sided situation with John Jones emerging victorious?
You know, no disrespect to Chael. You know, I know him. He's a good guy, or great guy, but, you know, it's just, you've seen what happened to everybody that's fought John Jones so far. You know, there's been wrestlers, there's been, you know, good boxers, there's been all, you know, all types of guys that, you know, went in front of him. But, you know, I don't think so. I think, you know, Jones runs through him, but, you know, he's coming in, you know, Chael's coming up a weight class. You know, he went from Anderson Silva. He's going into another big fight, you know, off the Ultimate Fighter. But I don't know. You know, Chael's a great fighter, good stamina. He's relentless on his takedowns. But we haven't seen John Jones even been taken down. So, you know, it's not like it's Anderson Silva who was an awesome fighter. If you were to say he had even a weakness, it would be his wrestling, which I don't even think he has a weakness. But, you know, and Chael exploited that a little bit, you know, especially in the first fight. But, you know, Jones, that's his bread and butter is wrestling.
Hey, Ryan, speaking of fighters that seem to be talking a lot in the media, Rampage is recently been doing a ton of interviews, and, you know, he's been talking about your fight with him, and he was, seems to be making a lot of excuses saying that he was injured during that fight. What's your reaction to fighters that come out and they make excuses after losses, especially, you know, one that happens to be a win you have?
No, he's still crying about it. You know, I don't even pay attention to it anymore. You know, he whines about it the whole time. We had a contract to fight on a certain night. And, you know, your job is to go out there and win. I flew all the way to Japan. I trained my butt off. I went out there, handled the jet lag, made weight, went out there and beat him that night. And he has the same thing. You know, if you're injured, don't fight. You know, I had knee surgery right after that. You know, and he eventually did. But, you know, I was injured too, and we both went in there, and I got the W. You know, he went over there. He didn't make weight, not by 1 or 2 pounds, by, you know, 6 or 7 pounds, and then he went in there and lost. You know, I don't think, if anything, he should be ashamed of himself not talking shit about me.
Now, you've been fighting a lot of top-name guys in this division for a while, and it seems like a lot of the guys in the division, at least, you know, that should be matched up around you in the top 10 there, seem to have matches already. Is there a certain guy that you're looking at that you could possibly match up? Would you rather a bigger name, or would you want a guy that's ranked highly, even if he isn't the biggest name?
Yeah, you know, you always want – fighting these guys in the UFC, like I've learned, you want to fight the best, you know, because everybody's tough here. And if you're fighting guys that nobody's ever heard of or anything, you only have, you know, you have everything to lose. So, you know, I like fighting these top guys. You know, my last, what, 4 or 5 fights out of the last 6, or, you know, 4 of my last 5 fights have been to champions or former champions, you know. So I've been fighting nothing but the best. So we'll probably just continue that, you know, going on. And I feel I'm getting better every day in the gym, even, you know, when I don't have fights, I'm working hard. So I'm going to continue to get better.
Before we say goodbye, Ryan, does Seth know that Kyle Noak is unfortunately no longer in the fight?
Yeah, he knows that. And you know, Seth was, he told me, he was like, I'm looking to get on another fight before the year's end. You know, right before he fought his last fight, and he went out there, did a good job, got a knockout, been looking great.
Well, he's been looking fantastic recently.
Yeah, he's been looking awesome. So, you know, we're proud of him, and he works hard, one of the hardest workers. You know, he has a full-time job. He comes in, he gets the work in. He'll stay after practice getting the work in. So he knows he pulled out. He's really hoping for a big name. He actually, when Joe Silva, was talking to him about how Noak pulled out, he asked for Nick Diaz.
Wow.
And they were like, nope. And so he wants the biggest name possible he can get, and he truly does, and he thinks he can beat him.
Well, good for him. And listen, give our best to CB, to Aaron, and to everyone at the gym. Congratulations yet again, and good luck with the little guys. And little one coming as well.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
There you have it, Ryan Darth Bader, one of the top guys at 205 pounds, doing a fantastic job. Like I said, one of the nicest guys that I've dealt with in this industry, always open for an interview. Doesn't matter where we're at. I could have a microphone in my hand walking back from one venue to another. And there he is. And I said, Ryan, you got a couple seconds? He's like, on the record or off the record? You know, it's just one of those guys. He's just such a cool guy. What's your take on Ryan?
Well, it sounds like he's in a good place right now. I mean, especially coming off that loss. I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem like he's dwelling too much on it. He's looking to improve in the gym. I mean, this is the best time to work on the things that you don't work on in a training camp, you know, to get around, you know, all around better. And I mean, looking down the list of light heavyweights available to fight a Ryan Bader, I mean, there's not too many guys that I see. I mean, you have a Dan Henderson out there, but you know, he's coming off injury, and I'm sure
I think the Henderson Machida fight's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm sure Dan wants to fight, you know, someone's going to put him in line for a title. Other than that, I mean, you got a returning Matt Hamill I could see as a possibility because he has kind of a name in the industry. And aside from that, I mean, maybe a Canadian like Ryan Jimmo, 17-1, coming off the fastest knockout in UFC history.
You're throwing Ryan Jimmo right up there, huh?
Well, Ryan Jimmo, not a big name, but I think as far as competition, I think he should start getting some of these guys in the top 10.
I'd like to see Ryan take on a bunch of guys in the top 10, like you said, and it remains to be seen where Ryan goes from here, but hopefully he gets a fight in early 2013 to keep himself active. And man, to have 1,000 members at a gym, that is absolutely fantastic. As always, thanks to our guests, Ryan Bader, Phil Davis, and of course, Todder. Thank you for coming in. Our boys behind the glass, Dan Riccio and Igor Enriquez. Good guys back there. I'm going to screw up your name all the time. I'm doing it on purpose, man. You came at me today before we started the show with a shot about Juventus, and now you're pointing at your... I'm not going to mention that team's name, but thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, you'll be listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.